This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, this time on video. Excited to do this, and obviously everyone listening, we appreciate you downloading and being part of WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you, reacting, as always, to the Sixers and the Celtics in game number 4, which was really one of the most ridiculous basketball games we've seen in Philadelphia in a long time. Lot to get into today, including introducing, or maybe reintroducing for some of you, Tucker Bagley with me. He is the producer of the show. I think I mentioned that one time before, but he's the producer of the show. And now that we have video capability, Tucker's going to be jumping on.
How you doing, Joe? Nice to see your face once again, albeit with, you know, the sun out. We're not great to be a part of the show. I'm excited.
Yes, and we have a lot to talk about today because yesterday was, like I said, just a ridiculous game. All right, a couple of things. I want to get to PJ Tucker, who's just my favorite player on the Sixers. I want to get to where this series is and, like, have they earned this or is this just more lucky to be where they are 2-2? And kind of looking forward to game 5 a little bit. But I think the two main characters to start off with here, obviously the great, which was James Harden. And I just think we have to just give James Harden his credit in Philadelphia. Yes, he was horrendous in game 2. Actually, bad in game 2, horrendous in game 3. I mean, that's just what he was. But James Harden has won 2 games in the Eastern Conference semifinals for the Sixers. I don't know what the future holds for James Harden. And, you know, there's more reports out there today that Houston feels like an inevitability for people down there, that he's going back to Houston. Maybe we're watching the end of James Harden in Philadelphia. And I don't think anyone's comfortable with a 4-year or 5-year full max for a player his age who goes up and down so much. But again, James Harden has won 2 Eastern Conference semifinal games against the Boston Celtics in the series. You just can't understate how great he has been. He's been the best Sixers player in this series. Despite the ups and downs, that's what he's been. You look at his game yesterday. I mean, James Harden yesterday in a do-or-die game was everything for the Sixers on offense. He had 42 points. He had 9 assists. He had 8 rebounds. He shot 6 of 9 from three-point range. He got to the free throw line 4 times and made all his free throws. Like, James Harden did everything possible to win that basketball game on Sunday afternoon to tie this series. And you look at it now, and you're like, man, do they need those James Harden games just to have a chance in this series? I mean, it probably would be a sweep. Like, this series could be over. Tucker, I know Harden has been someone that's been up and down in Philadelphia and the way people view him. And Friday night, everyone hated James Harden. But, I mean, I just have to say like this. He's won 2 games in this series. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, despite the fact he had 2 absolute clunkers in the middle of the series, you could probably say he's been their most important player. He's been their best player. All due respect to Joel Embiid, the MVP. But, I mean, what James Harden did in game 1 was an absolute Herculean effort and then kind of bailed out Embiid towards the end of the fourth quarter there. He made the game-winning shot in overtime. Only had, I think, 1 turnover in the entirety of game 4, which is just, I think, more than the 40 points and 8 rebounds, 9 assists. I think that's even more of a crazy stat for him, considering his penchant for turning the ball over. What he did on Sunday, I don't think it's anything short of saying that. I mean, that was a saving effort. He put Joel Embiid and the Sixers franchise on his back. I thought going into Sunday, probably the most important game of Joel Embiid's career, most important game of this entire Sixers run. And for James Harden to come out and play the way he did and put the team on his back in the second quarter when they went on that big run, late in the fourth quarter when Joel Embiid, you know, kind of became timid and really, you know, quivered with the sight of Al Horford, and then in overtime knocking down that game-winning shot and keeping everything under control. I mean, that's one of the all-time great performances, I think, in Sixers history.
Well, I think you're right. And I saw a stat yesterday. Now Harden has more 40-point games than Allen Iverson did in his playoff career. And obviously not Sixers playoff career, but just playoff career, which just shows the career that James Harden has had. Two 40-point games in the series. And Tucker said it there, and he's right. He saved Joel Embiid. I mean, that the win and the excitement and the fact that we have a series here is because of James Harden. But the underlying story of that game was Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter. That was as bad of a fourth quarter for an MVP as you will ever see in the NBA. I mean, a current MVP, not a guy that was an MVP 5 years ago. Like, Joel Embiid was this year, for all intents and purposes, the best player in the league. And even if you don't want to say that, maybe whatever. He was a top three or four player, however you want to rank players. He was that great this year. And in the fourth quarter, I was so disheartened watching Joel Embiid. The team took on, once again, his personality. And he just looked gassed, and he looked mentally out of it. You know, and I understand fatigue is probably factoring in here for Joel Embiid playing every other day on a knee injury. Doc Rivers going in an 8-man rotation. There's not much downtime for Joel Embiid. But he did have a little break before the fourth, you know, when the fourth quarter started. They came in with like 9:20 to go, and they were up 5. Obviously, you know, that game ended up in overtime. But it was just Al Horford owned him in the fourth quarter. I mean, Joel Embiid is lucky today that James Harden is here, because otherwise this entire city would be talking about Joel Embiid and can they win a championship with him? Can he close? Can all those kind of things? And he's also lucky the game went to overtime, because I did think Joel, to be fair to him, played better in overtime. He obviously made the pass to James Harden. He was a little more aggressive there in overtime. He got the ball in the basket. He got to the free throw line. He kind of reemerged in overtime and gave them enough to kind of help set up Harden to win the game. But that fourth quarter, to get blocked twice by Al Horford, and then almost worse than that was after the two blocks, it seemed like he didn't want to shoot anymore. Like, if it wasn't an obvious foul situation where he could just kind of body his way to the free throw line where he wants to be late in the game on offense. He doesn't want to take a shot. He wants to go to the free throw line where he kind of catch his breath. And he's obviously so good at shooting free throws, but he didn't want to shoot. He didn't want the ball in his hands. There was the one sequence where he got the ball in the kind of the high post. And the first thing he did was look to the corner to pass to Tobias Harris. Like, of all the people to pass to, Tobias Harris, he doesn't want the ball either. So it just was a game of hot potato. And Joel Embiid, you know, in that fourth quarter almost cost them the game. And it was kind of bizarrely uncharacteristic of this series for Joel Embiid, because I thought in game two, physically, he was in a better place than I thought he'd be. Now they got blown out, but I just thought physically, for his first game back, better than I thought it'd be. So then you go to game three, and quite frankly, I had very little criticism of Joel Embiid in game three. I thought he played well. You know, his teammates let him down. Harden let him down. Maxey let him down in game three. I thought game three was a very nice effort by Joel Embiid. It was everybody else that really struggled. But game four, despite, you know, the numbers look fine. You look at Joel Embiid's numbers in game four, 34-13, but, you know, it was, I would say, a less efficient version of what he was all year anyway. I mean, that was basically his numbers in the regular season anyway. But he was 11 of 26 in the field. Not great. He did miss 3 free throws. Still, I mean, 12 of 15 you can't yell about, but he's usually almost perfect at the free throw line. But I saw that fourth quarter it was a combination of, you could tell he was tired, and it just felt like Al Horford totally got in his head. Like, that is... you can't have that at this point of his career. Like, early on in Joel Embiid's career, playing the Celtics, pre-Horford or post-Horford, whatever, you know, it was one of those things where they kind of got to him and they found a way to kind of get in his head a little bit. But not now. Not now. It can't happen now. And at this stage of their careers, Al Horford shouldn't be getting the best of Joel Embiid. He just shouldn't. Joel Embiid is such a skilled player, and he's the MVP of the league for a reason, but he got in his head. He got in his head, and it was so disappointing to watch Joel Embiid in that fourth quarter. And we are all lucky, and the Sixers are lucky, that it didn't turn into a complete and total disaster. Because if they don't get to overtime there, it's all about Joel Embiid. Now, as we move forward to look to game five, and I want to get to really maybe the X factor and kind of the unsung hero of all this in a second. But as we look forward to game five, you know, there's momentum certainly on the Sixers side. And if they could somehow steal another one in Boston, they can win the series, obviously, because it's 2-2. It's just a best of three now. But if there's one thing to kind of take from game four that we could look at in game five, and we'll see how it plays out and how much of a factor it is, again, with one day of rest. So Doc Rivers playing a really short bench right now. He only played 8 guys yesterday. And really, other than Melton, the other guy, I mean, the other two didn't only play small minutes. I mean, Paul Reed played 6 minutes in this game, and Niang played 19, and Melton played 25. But everybody else, I mean, it's basically the starters played 47, 45, 46, 45. I am worried a little bit about a fatigue factor here going into game five for Joel Embiid, for James Harden. We know Harden sometimes doesn't have his legs. And I just thought Joel looked just totally gassed mentally and physically in that fourth quarter. He is lucky that James Harden saved the day.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, the unsung hero, and we have to mention this. And Tucker, I know you'll be excited to talk about this guy, because how do you not love this guy? He's my favorite player on the team. PJ Tucker is – Doc Rivers said it yesterday, because he was asked about the difference between last year and this year and kind of being in one of those games and fighting through it. And he said, last year, Miami had PJ Tucker. This year, we have PJ Tucker. I mean, that guy, that moment, if the Sixers somehow win this series, and I still think it's going to be very hard to win it, but if they somehow win this series – and they go to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they'll be heavy favorites, and then to the finals. We will talk about that PJ Tucker moment for years to come. Going over to Joel Embiid in that moment where every single person in that building and every single one of us watching on TV wanted to scream at Joel Embiid too. Like, man, wake up. Just wake up. Get whatever's in your head right now. Like, remember who you are. You're the best player in the league. Remember that. And well, I don't know what PJ Tucker said to him. I could guess it was probably not language that I'll use on this show or anywhere on WIP. But whatever he said, it worked. Tucker, I thought that moment where PJ Tucker went up to
Joel Embiid and obviously said something to wake him up
was like, that's worth the $30 million they paid him right there. He had a 3-point play and he had that right there. That was like, that defined who PJ Tucker is.
Yeah, I mean, he showed up in the fourth quarter and man, the way he like stomped over there, the way like your mom would be mad at you if you were, you know, making a mess at Target or something and just berated Joel Embiid for like 30 seconds and you know, really just kickstarted him back into gear. That's what PJ Tucker is. And I know we talked about for a while, they just needed a guy like that. They needed a PJ Tucker like player. Well, they didn't go out and get a copy. They didn't go out and get a cheap imitation. They went out, they got the real thing. They got the real deal. And, you know, he's someone that I think a lot of people during the regular season probably got fed up with because he was inconsistent. His effort maybe was lackadaisical at times because he is 38 years old trying to play through an 82 game season in the NBA. But what we've seen from him in the Nets series where when effort was lacking, he had no problem calling people out. He called Paul Reed out in the middle of game one of the series, and that really helped the defense down the stretch to help win that game in the second half. And then what we saw in the fourth quarter, that catch on the Tobias Harris air ball, and he shoots the ugliest layups I've ever seen, but they go in, and then, you know, going and chewing out Joel Embiid after he had, you know, two or three of the worst possessions we've seen from him all season. That's what he's here to do. That's why you go out and sign someone such as Pops Jr. Tucker. He was there to you know, bring that attitude more than he is to bring points off the bench. And it's funny because he struggled shooting the ball, right? Like, we talk about him needing to make quarter threes. I think he was like 0-for-3 or 0-for-4 to start the game from the corner. He wasn't great offensively, but when the chips were down and you needed a play, I can't think of anyone I would want more grabbing an offensive rebound at that point in time than PJ Tucker.
I can't either. He was everything. I mean, he was phenomenal for the Sixers, and the guy's a winner. Like, PJ Tucker is a dog, and he is a winner. And I just want that guy on my side in almost anything, but certainly in an NBA playoff game. Look, the Sixers are big underdogs right now, but a 7-point underdog in Game 5. They're still major underdogs to win the series. Nothing has really changed except they found a way to win a game that they usually lose. They actually found a way to win two games they usually lose. And there's a different universe out there where this could be a 4-0 sweep to Celtics. It's not. It's 2-2. The Sixers have some life here, and now they need Joel Embiid to be at whatever the best is. And again, I don't want to hear that the knee was bothering the fourth quarter. We don't talk about the knee when he plays well. Like, he's out there. He's out there, and he's playing through it. He's got to be better. He has to be more efficient. He has to be smarter in the fourth quarter. They have a chance. They have a chance in this series, and that is something that when the series started, I felt very pessimistic about. I thought Celtics at six. It still might end up that way. But the Celtics have a knack, and we've seen it so far this year, for kind of letting their guard down. Can the Sixers take advantage of that? We're going to see it in game five. The P.J. Tucker chewing out of Joel Embiid, that sticks in my head forever. The Harden game that we have to appreciate him for, even if he does flee to Houston here in a couple months. And, of course, Joel Embiid's got to feel lucky because James Harden absolutely and totally bailed him out. Appreciate everyone listening to WIP Daily. Download, subscribe, follow wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every day. My big take on the biggest story in Philadelphia sports. Excited to have Tucker Bagley with me. And we're doing these podcasts now a lot of times on video. So stay tuned there. We'll tell you where you can find it. And subscribe and follow WIP Daily. Thank you for listening.